Exodus chapter 26, and we as a congregation have been going through the book of Exodus together, and we find ourselves in the midst of the instructions concerning the building of the tabernacle. And this morning I'll be reading from God's Word in Exodus chapter 26, the entire chapter. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. Make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn with cherubim worked into them by a skillful craftsman. All the curtains are to be the same size, 28 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. Join 5 of the curtains together and do the same with the other 5. Make loops of blue material along the edge of the end curtain in one set and do the same with the end curtain in the other set. Make 50 loops on the one curtain and 50 loops on the end curtain of the other set. With the loops opposite each other, then make 50 gold clasps and use them to fasten the curtains together so that the tabernacle is a unit. Make curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 altogether. All 11 curtains are to be the same size, 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. Join 5 of the curtains together into one set and the other 6 into another set. Fold the 6th curtain double at the front of the tent. Make 50 loops along the edge of the end curtain in the one set and also along the edge of the end curtain in the other set. Then make 50 bronze clasps and put them in the loops to fasten the tent together as a unit. As for the additional length of the tent curtains, the half curtain that is left over is to hang down at the rear of the tabernacle. The tent curtains will be a cubit longer on both sides. What is left will hang over the sides of the tabernacle so as to cover it. Make for the tent a covering of ram skins, dyed red, and over that a covering of hides of sea cows. Make upright frames of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Each frame is to be 10 cubits long and a cubit and a half wide, with 2 projections set parallel to each other. Make all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. Make 20 frames for the south side of the tabernacle and make 40 silver bases to go under them, 2 bases for each frame, 1 under each projection. For the other side, the north side of the tabernacle, make 20 frames and 40 silver bases, 2 under each frame. Make 6 frames for the far end, that is the west end of the tabernacle, and make 2 frames for the corners of the far end. At these 2 corners, they must be double from the bottom all the way to the top and fitted into a single ring. Both shall be like that. So there will be 8 frames and 16 silver bases, 2 under each frame. Also make crossbars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames on the one side of the tabernacle, 5 for those on the other side, and 5 for the frames on the west at the far end of the tabernacle. The center crossbar is to extend from one end at the middle of the frames. Overlay the frames with gold and make gold rings to hold the crossbars. Also overlay the crossbars with gold. Set up the tabernacle according to the plan shown you on the mountain. Make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. Hang it with gold hooks on 4 posts of acacia wood, overlaid with gold and standing on the 4 silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasps and place the Ark of the Testimony behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Put the atonement cover on the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy place. Place the table outside the curtain on the north side of the tabernacle and put the lampstand opposite on the south side. For the entrance to the tent, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. Make gold hooks for this curtain and 5 posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold. And cast 5 bronze bases for them. Thus the reading of God's Word as it comes to us from Exodus chapter 26. As I said a moment ago, we are in the midst of the building of the tabernacle of God. And the tabernacle of God was the dwelling place for God here upon the earth. Previously, God had dwelt with His people in the Scriptures, in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we read that God had planted a garden. And in that garden were our first parents, Adam and Eve, as they dwelled with God in that place. But our first parents fell into sin, And thus, as sinners, they could not be in the presence of a holy God. And so God had to remove them from the garden and from his presence, and no longer could they dwell in that place with him. And now, as God makes his covenant at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, God is again establishing a dwelling place with man. He instructs the Israelites to build a tabernacle, and he will go within their midst among these very people, these very sinners, along the earth in their spiritual journey. As we have been looking here at the building of the tabernacle in Exodus 25, we have already read about different articles or pieces of furniture that will be placed inside the tabernacle. We read of the building of the ark, which was to be the throne room of God, an ark in which God tells his people that he will dwell between the cherubim above the cover and between the two cherubim that are seated there. God's presence, his holiness, will be placed there within the ark in that holy place, an earthly representation of the throne room of God here on this earth. We have read the instructions for building the table, a table in which God will have set, in which he may dine with his people. God will have the table equipped with showbread, with plates, with articles of which the priests may eat, and God's people will always know that he is so close to them that he may dine with them each and every week. Last week we looked at the building of the lampstand with the shape of a tree representing life that shines brightly as God's glory shines in a dark and sinful world. And now as we look at Exodus 26, we begin to see the features of the tabernacle beginning to take shape. For we have previously read in Exodus 25 about the ark, about the table, about the lampstand. And in Exodus 26, God divides up the tabernacle between the most holy place, the holy place, and the outer courtyard. And as we look at these instructions for building this tabernacle, the key to understanding this is to look how carefully God layers the place where he will dwell. Our God is holy. He cannot be dwelling with a sinful people. If there is nothing between a holy God and his sinful people, the people will die. And so God, in this tabernacle, builds layers of separation between the sinful people and the sinful world and the holiness of his presence. And as we look at the various features of this tabernacle, of this tent, of this dwelling place of God, we begin to see how God has carefully layered it to cause us to reflect on the holiness of him and the sinfulness of his people. Let us take a look at verse 1. It tells us here that they are to make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn with cherubim worked into them by a skillful craftsman. This is a tent-like structure. You know that the Israelites lived in tents as they are here in the wilderness and as they are making their way towards the promised land. God also had the children of Israel build for him a tent, which would be his dwelling place. And this tent has a canopy type covering over top of it. It is called a curtain in our text. And there are layers of this curtain. And the curtain that is described in verse 1 is the curtain that will be placed over top of this holy place and the Holy of Holies. This is the one that if you were to walk in the door as a priest, you would look up at the ceiling and you would see the features of this curtain. It is this curtain which will be closest to the presence of God where he is in his holiness. And in verse 1 we read that there are instructions of how they should make this curtain. Specific colors and specific features of it are mentioned. Now, this is not just God's favorite colors. God isn't just giving these instructions concerning the colors because he thinks it'll look nice, because these will match, because it would make the tabernacle a nice place. No, God is giving these instructions of these colors specifically because these colors represent something. You notice in verse 1 that one of the colors on this curtain, which will be nearest to the place that he dwells, is twisted linen. Finely twisted linen, which is white. The color white represents the purity of God. There is no impurities in God, but God is holy, God is without sin, God is without impurities. And so, as pure as God is, so will there be white in the place where he dwells. The second color that is mentioned is blue. Blue represents the colors of the heavens. When the Israelites were outside during the day and they looked up into the sky and they saw the brightness of the sun, which is the reflection of the glory of God, they also saw the blue sky. The heavens was before them. The heavens in which the place where they lived was covered with the heavenly realms where God is. Thus, in this curtain, there is blue representing the heavenly realms. The third color mentioned is the color purple. The color purple represented the royalty of God. In the ancient world, the color purple was very, very difficult for people to find. It was made by only one nation, the Sidons, and those people had trouble. Those people sold their purple colors all over the world. And because it was so rare, because it was so difficult to make, only kings could afford such a color. The purple represents the fact that God is their king. White, blue, purple, and the final color mentioned is the scarlet yarn with the cherubim worked into them by skilled craftsmen. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, as God had put the man and woman outside of the garden, we read this: after God drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Guarding the entrance to the holiness of God and where God dwells is cherubim with flaming swords guarding the way. If any man dared enter into the presence of God, that sword would pierce their heart and their blood would flow in judgment for their unholiness, trying to go into a holy place. And as the priests walked into the holy place, and as the high priest entered into the most holy place as he did once a year, if he looked up into the ceiling of this tabernacle, which represents heaven, he would see cherubim. And those cherubim represented the heavenly dwellings where God is, along with scarlet yarn, representing the blood of those who are unholy who might enter. If someone tried to enter this place, and they as sinners had no covering for their sins, they would experience this shedding of blood, this judgment of God, this red blood. And so as God is giving these instructions for the tabernacle, as he has them build this curtain, which will be over top of the tabernacle, these colors represent God's presence. These colors represent the fact that this is heaven coming down to earth. God will dwell among his people in this tabernacle, and where his presence is, these colors and these cherubim will be represented. But this is not just the only curtain that God has his people make. For as we go to verse 7, we read of another curtain. Make curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 altogether. In verse 14, we read of two more curtains. Make for the tent a covering of ram skins dyed red, and over that a covering of hides of sea cows. You see, in the place where God's presence is, where His holiness is, it is surrounded by a sinful and a world that is cursed. And so to come in between the place where God's presence is, it is layered with goat's hair, with animal skins dyed red, and the hides of sea cows. Yes, these coverings give protection for God's tabernacle. Yes, they provide strength so that if the wind comes or if the rain comes down, there will be protection. But that's not all. To come in between God's presence and His dwelling place and a sinful and a cursed world needs to be a layer of sacrifice. Goat's hair, animal skins dyed red that look like blood, and a covering of the hides of sea cows. Between the holiness of God and a sinful world comes sacrifices, shed blood. But these are not the only curtains that are mentioned. We know that God's dwelling place, the Holy of Holies, is at the center, and these canopies over the top, these tents, these curtains, layer it over the top. But also notice at the end of our chapter that God gives instructions to build more curtains. In verse 31, we read that a curtain is to be made of these same colors, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen, with a cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. They are to hang it with gold hooks on four posts of acacia wood, overlaid with gold and standing on four silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasps in the place of the ark, and place the ark of the testimony behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Put the atonement cover on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. God has them make a curtain to separate the holy place from the most holy place. The priest may only go behind this curtain one time a year to make atonement for the Israelites on the Day of Atonement. And on this curtain are the same colors and the same features that are on the tent or the curtain that covers the ceiling of this place. But then notice verse 36. For the entrance to the tent, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. This is the entrance to the tent. The children of Israel may look and see this curtain as they stand in the courtyard, as they look at the tabernacle of God. And notice that something is missing from this curtain. There are no cherubim. The same colors, no cherubim. The curtain that separates the most holy place and the holy place has these colors and a cherubim. The curtain that separates the holy place, which is not the place of God's dwelling, as much as the Holy of Holies is, has no cherubim. Not only is the curtain layered on top, but as the Israelites and as the priests would go from the holy into the holy place from the outside, and the high priest into the most holy place, there is a layering of the curtains. The most holy place curtain has cherubim because it is most holy. The outer parts of the tabernacle that the children of Israel can see in the courtyard does not have cherubim. In this tabernacle, we go from layer to layer. We go from the outside to holy to the most holy. From top to bottom, from side to side. And not only are the curtains layered, but notice verse 29. The framing of this tabernacle is to be framed, and it is to be covered with gold. gold and make gold rings to hold the crossbars and overlay the crossbars, it tells us, with gold. But notice also verse 25. So there will be 8 frames and 16 silver bases, 2 under each frame. The most holiest metal that we know is gold. Even today, as the Olympic Games are held, everybody wants the gold because gold is more precious than silver. Touching the ground that is cursed is not the gold that is in the most holy place where God's presence is, but it is the silver. And notice also verse 37. Make gold hooks for this curtain with 5 posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold, and cast 5 bronze bases for them. The bases to the wood and to the frame that is underneath the most holy place is silver. The bases to the frame that is covered with gold of the holy place is not silver, but bronze. The children of Israel will see the bronze bases. Not only is the curtain layered, but so are the bases layered. As we go into the presence of God, we go from the least precious metal to the most precious metal, from bronze to silver to gold. As we look at the instructions for this tabernacle, clearly God is teaching something to His people. He is teaching them that He is holy, that they are sinners, that they, if they are to go into His presence, must realize about His holiness and the judgment that will come upon them if they try to enter as sinners with no covering. Their God is holy, they are not holy. Now, sometimes we hear people say, "Wouldn't that be nice if we had a tabernacle? Wouldn't that be nice if we living in this world always knew that our God was always over there? Because we could see that tabernacle sitting there. We knew that God's presence was there with us. Wouldn't that be a wonderful, neat thing for us to know and to see?" But as we look at this tabernacle, we also see the imperfection of it. For God's people are sinners, and God is dwelling with them, but He is also separate from them. He is holy, and they have to be layered. God has to build this tabernacle in layers so that their unholiness does not harm them, as His holy presence is with them. This tabernacle causes us to long for a greater tabernacle, for a greater dwelling of God. For God would send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He tabernacled among His people in this very same world in which we dwell. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we read these words. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, we read this. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the throne of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of the faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilt of a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure blood." The Lord Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, tore this curtain and this separation in two. Notice again verse 20. "By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body." As the Israelites saw the red on this curtain, as they knew of the cherubim guarding the way, They knew that if they as unholy sinners entered this place, their blood would be shed. The Lord Jesus Christ opened this way by going through that curtain, by His body being put on the cross and His blood being shed, the wrath of God poured upon Him for the unholiness of His people, so that those curtains may be taken away, so that those layers may be removed, and He may bring His people into this most holy place by His blood, a new and living way that comes only to those who believe in Him by faith and who know Him as their Lord and as their Savior. And by this new and living way, He draws us near to God. We are drawn in the full assurance that His death and resurrection has paid the price for our sins, so that we, as God's unholy people, can enter into a holy place and be with Him. And we don't need a tabernacle down the street or in our church building to assure us. For the assurance that we have is a sincere heart, verse 22, in assurance of faith that Christ gives us, because our hearts are sprinkled, because our hearts are sprinkled that He has sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. God has a place for us much greater than this tabernacle. In Revelation 21, John describes this place. God gives John a dream, and he writes down in Revelation 21, verse 9, these words. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Christ is the groom. The church is His bride. This is the bride that John sees in the realms of heaven. Verse 10, "And He carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down from heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of the very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great and huge wall with 12 gates, and with the 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." No longer are there cherubim around the walls of this place, this dwelling place of God. But there are the names of Christ's church. This is His bride. This is His city. This is His people. The 12 tribes of Israel, His church brought into fullness. This is the city. This is the dwelling place of God's people. Those who know Christ, those whom He has sprinkled their hearts from their sin, those whom He has brought into His holy place and into this city, this dwelling place of God. And it is here that God is drawing us this morning as we partake of this meal, representing His presence here today. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank You for Your grace which comes to us through Christ. We thank You that as we have looked at the instructions of this tabernacle and we see the layers that are its covering, we can rejoice that there are no longer layers to enter into Your presence. For You have provided Your Son. He has suffered the death so that we may know Him, so that we may be drawn into this city even as we live here on this earth. And, O God, we praise You for Him, for the grace that He has poured out upon us. And now, O God, as we partake of this supper, we pray that you would prepare our hearts to rejoice as we enter his presence. We pray this all, our Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.